Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We're going to study, I guess we'll call it part two, of Restoration of the Elect Apostates. Part two. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this revelation. It's encouraging. Concerning those that are going to be returning to you. And we thank you for that. We're praying for them and those of your elect. And we thank you so much for doing this, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this first revelation was given to Sandy Shaw on March the 21st, this 2019. And it is part two of Restoration of the Elect Apostates, and we call this particular revelation Factious Remnant Returns. And this was transcribed by Merlene and Don Laughlin. So thank everybody for that. Sandy said, I had this dream twice. And you know what Genesis 41:32 says. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Amen. The way this dream starts, the house phone is ringing, and it's my brother. He has questions for me. One of the questions he asked, I know that you told me that it's not once saved, always saved. And you can lose your salvation by allowing sin back in. But what if that person repents? Does he have to tell some pastor or priest or some kind of a man of God? And, well, he was obviously leading up to something without actually saying it outright, we figured out. And Sandy answered, no, you don't have to, but if you already have a pastor and he knows about your sin, and even if he didn't, you could go talk and pray with him. And so he said, okay, but if you are already going to a church and they knew about the sin and you weren't going anymore because of the sin, when they repent, do you have to go back to that church? And Sandy said, no, but to go and see that pastor who knew you were in that sin, who would love to rejoice with you, is good. True. And because, of course, it's the pastor's job or the minister's job to make sure that sin isn't creeping into the church, willful sin, because we're commanded in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to cast that out. Okay. And of course, you know, a person that doesn't want, is afraid and still wants to hide their past sin instead of, you know, being free of it. It can be pride that's in the way. But either way, that doesn't show repentance, does it? And Sandy went on to say that that way the enemy can't use anything against you, like unforgiveness, which turns one over to tormentors. And then he said, well, why can't I just go and tell Jesus? If I repented and the people who know me would know, and even if I don't go there, they could talk to me again. Because, of course, we're told by God to separate from factious people, which is what this is leading up to refuse them, to give them no greeting, etc., etc. So many things. Sandy said, who's been talking to you? Because this conversation I'm hearing, manipulation. He said, manipulation? I answered, when you come clean from sin, it doesn't matter what the sin is because you're free from it. And by sharing what God did for you can help someone else to go through the same thing. That's, and of course, another thing is, of course, that everybody will know that you're free and they don't have to avoid you, right? And that's why you should go to the pastor first. But sin that's done in secret can't be kept hidden. No, it won't. The Lord won't let it. He's made them all come out. But if you're hung up about who knows about your sin, did you really repent? Or are you holding on to it? Because if you are free from sin, you are free indeed. Yes, good advice that Sandy's giving here, but actually received in the dream, right? So, and that's when I said, you've been talking to my old factious friend. And he continues, this person did not want me to tell you. Of course not, they hide everything. So, is she planning on coming to Tennessee? He didn't answer me. But I knew that it was her. He said, Sandy, you two were friends for a long time, closer than sisters. If she repented, why couldn't you be friends with her again? Does she have to talk to David? Sandy said, yes. He said, why? She answered, because we are one body. He said, oh. So we'll explain this a little further down here. Scene number two. Now I'm in a place, Sandy said, in the dream where I see the last factious leader and another man talking. And I don't know who he is, nor do I hear. But further back behind him, I see a past factious leader couple. Then I looked to the other side and I saw his wife sitting in an old-fashioned rocking chair back and forth and her husband standing near. All these people were leaders of a faction. Okay. Then way to the other end, I see a factious young man sitting on the ground, actually in the dirt, and he is in shorts with his T-shirt off, slung over his shoulder, playing the guitar. I would say possibly the nakedness here represents sin, right? Not dressed up with Jesus. Sitting in the dirt, probably the same. A factious man who was a drunk, who was known among us as a drunk, is very fat now and walking around with no peace of mind and going nowhere. Then there is a tent and I see a factious couple and all of their young children. And actually, we're going to, as we proceed in this revelation, we'll see that below that the people who entered the tent were ones that were coming out of the faction. So that's very interesting. Now, God starts in this dream, he separates the leaders from the people because the leaders deceived the people and they received the heavier condemnation. God may not grant many of the leaders, if any, repentance. But the people who were deceived, sometimes it's just in ignorance that people are deceived. And of course, God's always got a purpose, and the purpose could be to crucify the flesh, humble people who are proud, etc., etc. Because it's a humbling experience when you've gone into much, much apostasy and no conscience whatsoever, come back out and find out what you've done, right? A big humbling experience. We've seen this happen. We know what it does. And there's a lady walking around overseeing everything. Overseeing everything? Yes, with a very, very arrogant attitude. I believe this is Jezebel. Yes, because the Jezebel spirit is definitely there. And then there's another scene, scene number three. In the last scene, I saw the factious leader standing still and not doing anything. And now I saw them moving, meaning in action, in their works. Not what they say, but what they do, right? The last factious leader is standing at a small, high, round table with an old rotary phone. Well, a few months ago, Sandy had a dream of this same man at a round table with a rotary phone, which is, of course, very low tech. On a natural level, these old phones had to run on a battery, or could run on a battery power. Okay, so if you lost power, you could run these on battery power. So, just a thought, I'm not sure that this is not too literal, but sometimes there's a little bit of literal mixed in with the spiritual. So, does this mean that we have lost electricity because the grid is down or the earthquakes and faults have separated us from the outside world, which we believe could happen temporarily? Not the separation, but the loss of electricity. But here's another thing. God told us that he would take down the latest factious leader's technical ability to hack and slander us, which he did once before. Eve had a dream where this man was on a motorcycle. Some of you heard the dream. He was revving it up very loudly and trying to jump from his building to the building we were all in order to destroy us, which was on Mount Zion. But I comforted the people that he would fall short. Well, you know, falling short of a mountain is a disastrous situation, you know. And it's a complete falling away and possibly spiritual and physical death. Then sometime after Eve's dream, where she saw him on this motorcycle, he came down here in the literal on a motorcycle that was barely running. He was revving it loudly, just like in the dream, to keep it running. I've never seen him on a motorcycle or ever heard of him ever being on a motorcycle before. So this was, you know, a sign of a fulfillment and of a truth of that revelation in this one. And we thought that maybe he lost his job and truck. But after coming here, he used his motorcycle to stalk some of our brethren. Yeah, and he's been a stalker, especially of the women. So he picks up the rotary phone, and then I see where a past factious leader, one older past factious leader, who was caught in theft several times. That will be important a little bit later here. He picks up the same kind of an old phone standing at the same kind of a table. So he's speaking with the latest factious leader, who nods a yes. Well, nods are kind of low tech, right? Okay. The latest factious leader puts the phone down and with his hand around his mouth like he's yelling. Well, that's an even lower tech mode, I would say, yelling. People use their cell phones now, right? Another past factious leader who had destroyed his family with faction was standing on a slant, leaning forward to the left, towards the latest faction leader. So he leans towards him. Usually these people are too proud to stick together very often. Their egos won't let them work together. So it doesn't last very long. But he's leaning towards him. So, with his hand to his ear, and he was saying, yes. And with his other hand, making the okay sign. Well, that's even lower tech mode, right? And after a previous faction, this man lost his ability to be technical. I am telling you, he was brain dead, just about. His truck sat for a year. He didn't drive it. He couldn't do the simplest computer things that he could do before. He couldn't teach computer anymore. We nursed him back to normal, you know, because of love and because he was in this situation and because he had just come out of a faction, and we did our best to try to help him. And then he fell away even worse. You know, the demons are driven out into dry places, and they come back and bring seven worse. That's what happened. In this dream, the Lord is separating these factious leaders who are still in corruption from the remnant that is going to be returning to follow in Christianity. Now, this separation has been given to us before. It's like the Lord showed the people who do the deceiving are the people that have the heaviest condemnation. And, of course, many of them may not come back, whereas a remnant of the people will come back. Debbie Finsky on March 24th got this word about conquering the enemies in the land and one-third of the faction returning. In 2 Samuel 8, 1 through 4, and after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took the bridle of the mother city out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, making them to lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death and one full line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. Well, notice that one-third of Israel's kin, who factions against them, were restored to serve David, the man-child type, and the rest were killed. And I believe that this one-third are relatively innocent, but are temporarily deceived by evil leadership for the purpose of crucifying their flesh. Because God always has a purpose in even what evil people do. And they really believe that they're right. It's exactly what you see on TV of these very, very supremely leftist people railing at Trump and lying about him and now getting caught because the Mueller report is proving them to be liars when they say they saw proof of what was done, a bold-faced lie. They're getting caught in their lies. And their media, their mouth, their media with their bold-faced lies. But they really believe that it's a good purpose and lying's really not a problem, right? They just believe that he has to be done away with. They have, in their minds, have done away with democracy, right? But there's a parallel between this political and the church faction. And David smote also Hadadrezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his dominion at the river. He wanted to try to get it back, and nope, David didn't let him. And David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen, and David hocked all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 400 chariots. So I just said all that to say this, that there is a remnant returning, and we need to be praying for them, that they will break free by the grace of God, that their eyes will be opened, and they will see through this deception that came over them, demonic deception, and that they'll return to the Lord in his, in the fullness, right? And then Sandy said, now I see the tent door, which we mentioned once before, opening and closing and opening and closing. And, you know, knowing the rest of the situation, I believe this speaks of the remnant of the faction coming in. You know, the tent is the tabernacle of God, right? In the wilderness. So, you know, we know that in the wilderness there was a great falling away of people that rebelled against leadership, of a Korah rebellion, a faction, people puffing themselves up and factioning away from the leadership that God ordained, etc. There was a falling away in the wilderness, and we're coming to that too. The people, of course, that follow these people, remember what Moses said, get you up from about the tabernacle of these men, so you don't partake of their judgment. And, of course, some people didn't listen. And they were taken down by their rebellion and by their faction. So, Christina is the feminine form of Christian. Christina tapped me on the left shoulder, and I said, what are you doing here? Meaning in the tent of the believers, because she had not been there. She had been in the faction, right? Did you talk to David? She said, no, but I have repented. I said, go talk to David. You know, this may not make a lot of sense to you, but the Lord gave us a test from the beginning of this faction to see if there was real repentance, because we had many dreams of fake repentance among the faction so that they could infect others. But this test stopped this, because they could not bring themselves to do this thing. They still had unforgiveness and bitterness, because in this situation here, I'm the main culprit all the time. They always blame me for what they are doing. It's exactly what you see happening with Trump, the exact same situation. They want their satanic kingdom to continue. And they're not going to give him any credit, even with the Mueller report proving them all wrong. It doesn't make any difference. They, all of them, didn't believe it. So why this condition of going to see David? Because from the beginning, all the demons wanted to do is to destroy David and UBM and the materials. They hated our materials. So they especially wanted to attack the materials or the people that were working on them. They sent witchcraft prayers against the people that were working on them. The devil in them hates the word of God. That's the demons. If the people get delivered of those demons, they'll be back to normal, and which is wonderful. Of course, we prayed for that, you know. And I've said before that the destruction and the death of the factious could represent, in some cases, a people who have been separated from these spirits. Because what happens when you get separated from a spirit is you die, right? And also the factious would be friendly to the righteous in order to seduce them, but they could not speak peaceably to David, just as it was with Joseph's brothers, who factioned against him and tried to destroy him. That's what the Bible says. They could not speak peaceably to him. Why? They had that spirit in them. So they plotted and schemed to destroy him, but the Lord didn't permit it. Instead, he put Joseph over them in a very humble situation. Right? That's a very good likeness of what's going to happen. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, right? So, same situation here. Same situation. We've received that text many times. She said, well, do I have to? Meaning, go talk to David. Look, I've brought all these people. And there were 50 to 60 people standing behind her. So this is what came to me. They were following after Christianity. Her name means Christian and feminine, the feminine form of Christian, which means a body, right? In the scriptures, that's used as a body of people. They were following after Christianity, but they needed to be tested to weed out the tares. And that's the test that the Lord gave us in the beginning that has worked absolutely perfectly. There are some things demons can't bring themselves to do. Now everything is white where we as a body are standing. Everything is white. See, these people here are being tested, and then suddenly everything is white where we are standing. And of course, meaning those who would repent did so. And of course, we're looking forward to that. We've prayed for that from the very beginning of this thing. Yeah, thank you, Father. So, but everyone is silent and no one is talking. It's just like we have just arrived. She's talking about the rest of UBN has just arrived. The rest of local UBM has just arrived. And now these people are there and everyone's silent. They're not talking. There's probably some apprehension in the air. Can we trust these people? You know, we look to one another and there's no fear. Okay, God's restoring something here, right? The apprehension of the factious remnant is gone, right? And now all of a sudden, all of local UBM are standing in the white space. So these people have come back. The fear is, this apprehension between the two groups is over. Not the faction as a whole, but the factious, the elect among the factious who've come out from among them. So it looks as if we were translated here. They're all standing in a white space there. And we're just looking at one another, not saying a word. And it was like we weren't here a minute ago, but here we are. And we were bewildered. We were all in one accord and safe. Then I woke up. One accord. That's a good thing. God is pleased with one accord in the church. And there can't be one accord as long as there's willful disobedience, bitterness and unforgiveness, anger and criticism, lying and slander, etc., etc. So I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and my finger fell on the caption in Jude, verse 17, keep yourselves in the love of God. So 17 on down, it says, but ye, beloved, remember ye the words which have been spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something I exhort the factious people who are listening, because we know for a fact some do listen, that you need to remember what the Bible says. You're going to be held accountable for what the Word of God says, not by what your factious leaders have said, but what the Lord has said. That's what's going to judge you. So, verse 18, that they said to you In the last time there shall be mockers, walking after their own ungodly lusts. And this is one thing that is common among the faction, ungodly lusts. In fact, they're delivered over to their old lusts and some more lusts that the people have who they humbled themselves to. Those lusts are being spread, and they are nasty. These are they who make separations, right? So who makes the separation? It's always the factious. They fall out. They won't take any correction at all, even humblest way you can give it across to them. They fall out. They're angry. You're, of course, sorry, but they make a separation. Sensual. Yes, they are sensual. Having not the Spirit. Yes, that's true. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I recommend that to anybody who is being led out of faction is to pray in the Holy Spirit. He will set you free. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. This is something that is so contrary to faction. There's no love of God there. They won't obey Him. There's no love of their fellow man. They won't obey them. And whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So there's hatred there. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're looking for mercy? How do you get mercy? You give mercy, right? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy. If you're not in the love of God, should you look for mercy? No. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have mercy who are in doubt. Yep. I know even going in to faction is a lot of times very sudden. The person does not know that they've been taken. They just feel very self-righteous and very angry with David all of a sudden because the demons in them don't like me or any other David out there. They don't like. And that's a good thing. You know, a person is known by their enemies. If you've got a nasty enemy, well, very likely is that spirit in them does not like you because you're not like them. Okay. It's just like what's happening in the political realm. You know, they turn on anybody who voted for Trump. These people don't have a right to live in their eyes. You know, in fact, they have done quite a bit to try to kill Christians. And they're still doing it. And on some have mercy who are in doubt, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. Amen. And we can do this, you know, by prayer, by faith. I recommend that anybody who says that they're in faction, tell them to go see David. If they won't do that, you're barking up the wrong tree here because they're not going to listen to you. They are not. They haven't repented. Those demons are in them, and they're in control. They're not going to listen to you. They might destroy you. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Yes, we hate that garment. It's the old man in control. Those spots and wrinkles of which do not belong in the bride means the old man is in control and there's sin there, right? Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Wow. You know, go to God, any of you that have suspicions or your eyes are being opened to what you're in here, the evilness, the fruit of it, the sin, the bitterness, the anger for no particular reason. You know, if God is opening your eyes, you know, what we said before, pray in tongues a lot. That will help. It'll build you up in your faith. And God is able to set you before the presence of his glory, without blemish in exceeding joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I believe that we are turning a corner here, and I believe a lot of other people do too, in the political realm. And they've suddenly been shot down because they've been proven to be liars, even though you can't prove it to them. They've been proven to be liars. Suddenly a lot of people are walking away from the mainstream media because they discovered that they were liars. And I know that this has been happening all along, but we just read that suddenly a lot of people have dropped the mainstream media and the talking heads up there, because they found out they've been lying to them all along. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. So, I hope that you will join with me out there in praying for the elect of people among the factious, and do warfare against their demonic enemies who have held them captive, especially faction and witchcraft and slander and bitterness and anger and hatred and et cetera, et cetera. You know, these things. Father, we pray for this remnant that you're showing us that is unhappy among the factious, and that's a good thing, that they will soon return unto you and be saved, because any man that hates his brother doesn't have eternal life abiding in him, as your word says. And Lord, make our joy full in this regard, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We send forth the angels to deliver the elect among the factious, to deliver them, to open their eyes, and to deliver them out of this bondage, this Babylonish bondage. So, during the last 2 days, I mean, if I go back any further, I'd be here all day probably. We have received quite a bit of words about this in the last couple of days, and we received them by faith at random. If you don't believe in a sovereign God, you need to read our book, Sovereign God. And for us and through us, right? Sovereign God, because he does rule over everything, and you can believe him to do anything. And even in the Old Testament, the people of God understood he was sovereign. They believed in signs. So they asked for signs, you know, like Gideon did with the fleece and so on and so forth, like many did with the lot. They used the lot quite often. And it's the lot parteth between the brethren, because sometimes people can disagree with you. But if you agree that God will answer truthfully, which he will, if you believe him to, then that can solve any problems between you, and you can come to a common solution. You don't want to have a Balaam answer, which is a selfish ambition, which causes God to lie to you, because he will do that. So you have to watch out for things like that, because that could cause you to get a wrong answer from the Lord. And I don't believe in using this to guide your life. It's just a good way for a confirmation, right? Some people get overboard, and they, if you read Sovereign God, you understand what I'm talking about, because I gave warnings in there concerning that. You know, you don't want to lead your life that way. You want to listen for God, But sometimes you can, he'll impress you to get a confirmation and you get it. And so that's good. So today I'm going to share with you some of the words we got, and yesterday some of the words we got. Overwhelmingly, it was about the situation, which is kind of amazing. Matt Farah got this text, which speaks about Jeroboam's faction against David. His faction deceives the people. He is held accountable for this deception of the people and for turning them away from God. So is the faction leadership today. 1 Kings 12, 28 through 31 is what he received. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. And he said unto them, "It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Isn't that something? How stupid can you get? Now that's the stupid spirits to the max. Here's something that they made, they created, and this is the God that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Well, many people make their own God. That's why you have to be so careful when they say, "God said this," or "God said that," or "I saw this," or I heard that." You know, if they're going to be dishonest in a little, they're going to be dishonest in a lot, right? Be so careful. So, since they did not like David and Jerusalem, they lied and deceived the people with their false Jesus. And that's exactly what's happening. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made houses of high places, and made priests from among all the people that were not of the sons of Levi. Now this is rampant in Christianity. In the factions of Christianity, they've done the same thing. These are not ordained people of the Lord, and yet they made them that. And they're guilty. Okay, Shay got this. It's actually God's curse on the thieves and robbers of the harlot church that's in bondage to Babylon. I should say thieves and liars, you know. So Zechariah 5, 1 through 8 says, "Then again I lifted up mine eyes," and listen to this carefully, because this is a prophetic word that is true now, just as it was true then. "Then again I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, 'What seest thou?'" Now this is a particular kind of scroll that comes in a roll. "And he said unto me, 'What seest thou?' And he answered, 'I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, 'This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off on the one side according to it," according to the curse. "And every one that sweareth," which he calls it, "swears falsely," just below this, "everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on the other side according to it. And I will cause it to go forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name." So the person who lies, the person who slanders, and the person who is a thief, which is very common among the faction. Very. The most common sins. And also fornication. Those are probably the three most common sins among the faction. And they will stare you down that it's true, even though there can be 20 witnesses and they'll still say it's true. You know, 20 witnesses against them I'm talking about. And it shall abide in the midst of his house. So it's going into the house. This curse, which is the written prophetic word, is going into the house of the person who lies and steals. And shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel, have you noticed the consumption of the factious people? How it's destroyed their house, not physical house, spiritual house. Their children all turn into corruption, get demon. We run into a young man just the other day. His daddy led him astray into faction, and he was just wild. Just wild. Tormented. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? He said, this is the ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their appearance in all the land. Behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman sitting in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. Well, it's not hard to see that this is the harlot in the midst of the church. The biggest harlot we've had to deal with is the faction. For the last many years. And he cast her down in the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. So the curse goes out against these people to bring destruction. And hopefully that even this judgment will bring repentance before death. Then Leon got this. It's all about the faction profaned and revealed, which is going to happen, and it is happening now. Ezekiel 22:14-16. Can thy heart endure, or can thy hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? A lot of people think the Lord has let me get by with this so far. He must not be watching. He must not be listening. No. He says, I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the nations and disperse thee through the countries. Why does it say nations and countries? Because this is not just a local thing here. This is around the world. People being taken captive by their Babylonish leadership around the world, right? Corruption. Listening to sinful people, disobeying the word of God and being captured by those demons. And I will consume thy filthiness out of thee. This is a good promise for the elect. And thou shalt be profaned in thyself and in the sight of the nations, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Yes, that false god is not the Lord. That golden calf is not the Lord. Gold represents, of course, value, but also greed. You know, whatever your selfish ambition is, right? Michael Hare got this, and it's all about the destruction of the faction. Lamentations 3:64-66. Thou wilt render unto them a recompense. In other words, time to pay back. Well, I know that Trump believes that this is the time for payback. It's his turn, he said. He's going to turn and take down. What now an awful lot of people know is an evil faction, a satanic faction. Thou wilt render unto them a recompense. If I was to give you all the evidence I have of this satanic faction that we're dealing with in the church, you would be appalled greatly. O Lord, according to the work of their hands, thou wilt give them hardness of heart, thy curse unto them. That is a curse, because if you don't know that the judgment of God is going to take you out, just like the curse that we read a moment ago from God on the wicked, if you don't know it and your heart is hardened, you're going to get taken out. That's why we pray that the Lord will give to his elect who are in captivity among them a softening of their heart, an understanding of what they actually did, etc. Thou wilt pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. And here's another one, just like that one, about the faction being destroyed. Isaiah 51, 4 through 8. Attend unto me, O my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light of the peoples. Well, we're seeing a little bit of justice being disposed of or dispersed now. And it's making a lot of Christians very happy that finally they're getting to see some justice here. Oh yes, the wicked are still trying to explain away whatever they can. They all believed in Mueller's report, right? They all worshipped Mueller, you know, and were so thankful that he was going to come and get rid of Trump, right? Same thing's happening in the church. But they were proven wrong. There were people, you know, working for Mueller who were just radical leftists. And they wanted so bad to have something that they could prove Trump guilty with. And even then, they couldn't do it. And so the talking heads are saying things like, well, they must have missed something. Or, well, we need to do an examination of this. We need to call them in front of the Congress. We need to do this. We need to. But they're not accepting what they said was going to be, you know, what they really wanted, right? My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the peoples. The isles shall wait for me, and on mine arm shall they trust. The arm of the Lord is Jesus, right? Amen. How awesome. Lord, we do. We pray for your justice, Lord, that the world would see that you are God. You said, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I believe nations are watching what's happening here in America, and they're amazed. That's what's happening. Astounded at what's happening. Could be nothing but you, God, to do this. These people have killed anybody that came against them, even presidents who thought they had power, but found out shortly after they got into office that they were just puppets. Some of them couldn't stand it and began to speak against it, and they're gone. And this has been going on. Abraham Lincoln spoke about it. The people with the money, they take advantage of you. That's what God said in James, right? It's always been that way. And thou shalt know I am the Lord. Michael's word there is very true. He said, thou wilt render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Thou wilt give them hardness of heart, thy curse unto them. Thou wilt pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. You that are living under that delusion, you need to come out now. You need to read your Bible and believe everything that's there, just like you got saved the first time. And repent quickly, because judgment is approaching. I mean, you can look around you and see that judgment has destroyed families around you, destroyed lives, jobs, abilities to do jobs, on and on. The very nature and the corruption is there. You see that. So you can't call that a church, right? Brandy got, the faction destroyed, and it was Isaiah 51, 4 through 8. Attend unto me, O my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light of the peoples. A light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. We're seeing God's salvation in a very physical way in the government. We're seeing it in the people of God. You know, our brethren this morning were rejoicing over the victories that they've had in Jesus. The victories they've had over things that they inherited, over sin natures, over demons. They were just rejoicing. There was great happiness in our midst this morning. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the peoples. The isles shall wait for me, and on mine arm shall they trust. The arm of the Lord shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. The earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye dismayed at their revilings. Yes, they are revilers, railers and revilers, which he said, turn away from them, have no company with them. These railers and revilers. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation unto all generations. Amen. Lord, we desire your justice in the earth, your judgment against sin so that men repent. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness, your word says. And Missy got Hosea 12, 7 through 14, and her finger was on 12. He is a trafficker. The balances of deceit. Balances, in other words, the balance that they have is deception. They don't have any balance. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. Yes, constant. You know, when people disagree in the church normally, people may part ways. They did it in the Bible too, and go away. But they won't stay there and chew and chew and chew on you like it's their only ministry. Yes, like it's the thing that they are chosen to do is to destroy David and UBM. No, that's demonic oppression. Yeah, people fall out with you and they disagree with you and they just go their way and that's the end of it. But not with this. That it is their life's work from then on. And Ephraim said, surely I am become rich. I have found me wealth. Ephraim, of course, is the fullness of nations, because this is the apostate church of the northern 10 tribes, but it represents that church in the fullness of the nations. In all my labors, they shall find in me no iniquity that were sin. Well, that's the feeling of the faction. I mean, they don't think they ever sin, and if they ever did, they will never tell you. Never. They will never confess a sin. Never. But I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and I will yet again make thee to dwell in tents. Well, once again, they will elect among them, will return to the Lord and dwell in tents. Tents meaning the tabernacle, the mobile tabernacle of God in the wilderness, right? As in the days of the solemn feast, I have also spoken unto the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and by ministry of the prophets have I used similitudes. In other words, he's done everything to turn these people to him. Is Gilead iniquity? They are altogether false. And that's the facts. This really fits the situation that we're in. That's why God spoke this to us. In Gilgal they sacrifice bullocks. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the field. Yeah, but that does not draw you closer to God. He wants your heart. People can sacrifice all day long, but he wants your heart. And Jacob fled into the field of Aram. Aram, of course, is where our fathers came from. Aram. Our early fathers, the leaders of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel up out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim hath provoked to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall his blood be left upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. What is the job of the Christians? It's to get rid of their old blood and take on the new blood of Jesus Christ, in which is no sin. We inherited sin through the blood. The sin of our parents was passed down to us through the blood. But now we have a new blood. We have a new spiritual heavenly Father. We have a new spiritual Father in Jesus Christ too, because he sowed the seed of Matthew 13 in the hearts of the people. And some of it brought forth his fruit, which proved that they were his fruit, right? Ephraim hath provoked to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall his blood be left upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Yep, some people don't ever give up the old blood. They come and confess Christianity. They go right back to doing their same old nature. They see no need in getting rid of it whatsoever. And Debbie got this, the leadership. It's all about the leadership rejecting the prophetic warnings of coming destruction. Jeremiah 36, 1 through 8. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. Josiah, of course, was a reformer, right? And he brought many corrections to God's people, and so this book was being written by Jeremiah to rebuke the apostates. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way. So this evil is coming with the hopes of it bringing repentance. That I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So if they repent, he will forgive the iniquity and the sin. Some people don't know what repentance is, really. They're under delusions of demons and they couldn't understand repentance. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto him upon the roll of the book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fast day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. We're talking about the problem of apostasy, how that the people received all these warnings and they didn't listen, and their leaders didn't listen. And it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the wrath that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. Now, friends, I got to tell you, God hasn't changed about apostasy. Most of Christianity is in apostasy. They have not paid attention to the Word of God. If you did give it to them, they wouldn't pay attention to it because they believe that their particular church and their denomination is all they have to listen to. They have an idol. It's like the golden calves. It's a false Jesus, right? And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So he went about, sharing this word, and even came to the elders, the princes of the people of God, and they were shocked, at this reading, and they actually knew that the king probably wouldn't receive it, and they sent them into hiding and wanted to bring this to the king. Well, eventually it got there, and we'll read that in verse 22. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the brazier burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves that the king cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Well, of course, Jeremiah gave it to Baruch again with a lot more added to it. And he pronounced that these things were going to come to pass. That's a bad thing. Great massive judgment is coming against the apostate people of God. Their leadership does not want their people to hear what this judgment is, and they won't speak it. They will throw it in the fire, but they will not speak it. And they will bring judgment upon ignorant people. And it's their fault, their blood is on these leaders' hands. And Sufera, Hebrews 1 and 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I believe that this spoke especially of Jesus and Jesus in the man-child body in the end times. And anybody that wanted that same Jesus, they'll be anointed with that same oil. You know, there were people among the northern 10 tribes who left when they fell into apostasy with the golden calves and went and worshiped at Jerusalem. They moved among the righteous. They realized that this was evil and wrong from the beginning, and they moved. And then this is the day before, March the 30th, 2019, when we received pretty much a lot of the same kind of things with a few things that we need to pay attention to. Leon got Psalm 37, 16 through 17. And as in Isaiah, when Jesus comes, it is to destroy Edom. Esau's seed, which is Edom, who lost the birthright through a root of bitterness against their brother, right? Psalm 144, 5 through 8. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Yes, that's what we want, Lord, right there. The presence of the Lord, the visitation of the Lord. Know how many verses talk about the visitation of the Lord? Many times it's to bring judgment, right? Bow the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. There's that scatter again. God scatters the wicked. That for some reason, they like to hang out around the righteous and torment them. And God scatters them. Send out thine arrows and discomfit them. Stretch forth thy hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So this speaking of a deceit brings that roll of the curse upon them, right? In all the land, he said, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They speak lies. Judy received Psalm 37, 16, and 17. Better is a little that the righteous hath than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The arms of the wicked shall be broken. You know who the arm of the Lord is? The Lord himself, right? He's our power. He's our strength by which we do our works, which is the hand, right? But the arms of the wicked shall be broken, meaning they don't have any strength to do their works anymore because the Lord has broken their power, the power of the demons. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And Psalm 37 and 34 was also given to her. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. There it is, what we spoke about earlier. You wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. Because the wicked are going to be driven from the land, right? Amen. And it's happening. It is happening. What is the land that God chooses? It's the natural life of his people, which brings forth the fruit. That's his land. And the wicked will be cut off, and you shall see it. He wants his people to have a demonstration of his hatred of sin and of his justice, etc. People say, well, will God ever get rid of these people that are doing this? Yes, he will. It'll be like the Red Sea. You won't see them again anymore. Brandy received, the Lord is sending the deep, this is my comment about what he did receive. The Lord is sending the deep state to take down the evildoers. Jeremiah 12, 5 through 12 is what he received. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? Horses are strong flesh, right? He didn't want the Israelites to have strong flesh. He told them to use donkeys. And don't multiply to yourselves horses out of Egypt, he said. The strength of the beast, right? They had to trust that he did not want them to trust in the strength of the beast. And though in a land of peace thou art secure, yet how wilt thou do in the pride of the Jordan? Jordan represents death, right? Destruction. So when things are at peace and you think you've got it all figured out, no, you haven't really seen what God can do. How wilt thou do in the pride of the Jordan, right? For even thy brethren, the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Even they have cried aloud after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words. We talked about this before. Though they speak fair words, you know their nature. You know what they've done. You know what they believe. You know they don't have a conscience. Why are you carrying on a conversation with them? What kind of fellowship do we have here? Fellowship, of course, is giving and taking. What do you want of theirs? Nothing. You've seen what they do and what they believe and the bad fruit that's there. What do you want of theirs? Don't be fellowshipping them, because that's giving and taking. You'll receive it. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Though they speak fair words unto thee, I have forsaken my house. I have cast off my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Yes, that's what we're seeing. My heritage is become unto me as a lion in the forest. She hath uttered her voice against me. Therefore have I hated her. Yes, this is what we've seen. Is my heritage unto me as a speckled bird of prey? Are the birds of the prey against her round about? Go ye, assemble all of the beasts of the field, bring them to devour. What? His people, who he raised up in hopes that they would bring forth his fruit, and instead brought forth wild fruit or no fruit. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Yes, these shepherds who are not Levites, who the factious Jeroboam raised up to rule over the larger portion of the people of God. What happened to him and what happened to them? Yes, God's justice. They have made it a desolation, these shepherds. They have made it a desolation, an abomination that maketh desolate. He that chooseth you is an abomination, he said. It mourneth unto me, being desolate. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. They don't consider the word of the Lord anymore. Destroyers are come upon all the bare heights in the wilderness. We've been told by the Lord that the deep state is coming to destroy and that God is going to use that to take down many of our enemies. For the sword of the Lord devoureth from one end of the land even unto the other end of the land. No flesh hath peace. Well, we've learned that Babylon is that enemy that we call the deep state and their shadow government. And they're coming to destroy what God hates. Because he said, for the sword of the Lord devoureth from one end of the land even unto the other end of the land. No flesh hath peace. Yes, it's God who is not only going to destroy the deep state in their Red Sea, they're going to first use them to get rid of the evil leadership and the apostates among God's people. The leaven that is leavening the whole lump, they're going to bring it down. Oh, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that the people would never follow Moses into the wilderness with these people still alive. And I'm talking about the man-child of Moses, right? And what is the Lord going to do? And I've wondered that, and in the last few years, the Lord has shown it to me very plainly from words that we've received. I've wondered, Lord, why? They worship their idols. Why would they follow a man-child into the wilderness? What is going to happen to cause this to be a permissible, you know? And then the Lord showed us. And Sue Gilbert and Jeremiah 18:5-15 got this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Yep. He can make you into anything, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it? If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. Who can turn from their evil? What nation can turn from their evil? Only those that are chosen of God. Can the wicked worldly nations turn to God? Not unless he chooses them. No one comes unto the Son except the Father chooses and draws them, right? So, who is he expecting to repent here? His people. His people. The nation in whom is God's people. He expects them to listen to his stern warnings and repent. And this has not happened. If they do repent, he said, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Are you still leaning upon promises that are no longer yours because you've walked in a way that's contrary to God? And you don't yet realize that that's not your promise anymore. Now comes judgment to turn you back, if possible, from your headlong walk against him. Verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. So those who had been the most faithful among God's people had turned away too from the Lord. And he warned them that those promises that I gave you, they're only good so long as you serve the kingdom. Right? Amend your ways and your doings. Otherwise, I can take back my promises. But they say, it is vain, for we will walk after our own devices, and we will do every one after the stubbornness of his evil heart. The Lord made a standard by which we will be judged by. It's not the man in the pulpit. It's the Word of God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the nations, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Shall the snow of Lebanon fail from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold waters that flow down from afar be dried up? For my people have forsaken or forgotten me. They have burned incense to false gods, and they have been made to stumble in their ways. In the ancient past, to walk in bypaths, in a way not cast up. So he made them promises. They thought they were theirs eternally, even though they went after their own will and their own ways, contrary to his word, which is in the Bible. And he had turned against them. And so it is in the apostasy in the church today. So many think that they're God's people. God's going to bless them, etc., etc. They've been deceived, because those promises are to the righteous. They are to the overcomers. Like the book of Revelation, it speaks to only the overcomers receiving the benefit of the kingdom. What is an overcomer? One who comes against sin as described by God, not as prescribed by men, right? And Amber got Matthew 26 and 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Hasn't he done the same thing today? And haven't they been scattered? Amen. And Michael Hare received a text that I believe is about the coming of the man-child that will bring the end of the faction until the time that the church goes through tribulation and crucifixion. Right now, as I've explained to you, that the Lord showed us that his intent is on crucifying the man-child and the bride. But these are the ones that God is raising up to bring the church back to her roots, rooted in God, rooted in the Word of God. So, Michael's text is Isaiah 66, 1 through 7. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build unto me? Well, people still think that God's going to build an earthly temple, but God doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. What is the temple that God dwells in? It's his heavenly people who are born from above. In other words, built by God's hands, right? What manner of house will you build unto me? They think, okay, I've got the building of God. I'm somebody. I can stay here. I can No, it's just a building, and your church building that you have is not going to last. It's the heavenly one that's going to last and have eternal. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what place shall be my rest? For all these things hath my hand made. And so all these things came to be, says the Lord, but to this man will I look. In other words, now he's talking about the manner of the house. Right? To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. Oh, many ignore the word these days because they think they've got a better idea, or their preachers have a better idea, or the faction has a better idea. But God's going to prove them wrong. He's going to show great signs to the people and for the people and through the people that the faction hates. The people that tremble at his word. He that killeth an ox, in other words, what they think is their sacrifice, right? Their great sacrifice, is as he that slayeth a man. He that sacrifices a lamb, as he that breaketh a dog's neck. Wow. God is saying, I'm ahead enough of your sacrifices. You're not sacrificing your own flesh. He that offereth an oblation, as he that offereth swine's blood. Wow, he doesn't have any respect for those Old Testament types and shadows anymore, does he? He that burneth frankincense, as he that blesseth an idol. Why? Why is this? Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Do you know, look out there, folks, at the old denominations, how that they're crumbling, how that they've got no word to base, because they brought disrespect to the word. They can't possibly preach the word anymore. It would be against them, and they're not going to permit it. Just like what they brought to the king, and he cut with his penknife, and he threw it in the fire. They're not going to permit it. They stand in the door, and they won't enter in, and they won't let anybody else enter in either. He said he will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear. But they did that which was evil in mine eyes. You think, can that happen to the people of God? It did many times. And chose that wherein I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is they that shall be put to shame. Yeah, the people that don't tremble at God's word, they have no conscience of God's word. And how did they get there? By being a hold of demons, a prison of demons that Babylon has become. The only thing that's important to them is how they can please their own flesh. They're going to be put to shame. God's going to show his mighty pleasure with the people that serve him. He's going to give mighty signs, mighty signs. A voice of tumult from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies. Yes, those very people who have opposed his leadership that he sent, he's going to render recompense to them. Those that oppose the word that he sent to turn them around, he's going to render recompense to his enemies. They're going to find out that they are his enemies. Lord, didn't we do many mighty works? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They were convinced they were God's people, even while they did many evil things against his word and against his people. A voice of tumult from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. And this is going to be the one that's going to come against his enemies. When David was anointed, he brought down Edom. He put garrisons in all their cities. He ruled over them. And Debbie got the faction departed. This is what I contend that the word is being spoken here. And we had a lot of agreement in all of these. We knew what they were saying, all of these verses. The faction departed from the Lord's word, and they shall lose the battle against their enemies. 2 Chronicles 13, 1 through 12, Debbie shared with us. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, who was the one who started the faction against the house of David, he was a more modern day Korah who was rebelling against God's true leadership. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, began Abijah to reign over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah joined battle with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. And Jeroboam set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men. They had twice as many people. Doesn't make any difference if you're against the Lord and the Lord's against you, how strong your army is. Who were mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in the hill country of Ephraim. And he said, "Hear me, O Jeroboam and all Israel," who was the faction against the house of David. "Hear me." And boy, he gave a good preaching here. He told the truth. This faction was against God's people and against God's inheritance and against God's David leadership, right? They were against. They fought against. "Ought you not to know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt?" They evidently didn't know that. They decided they'd do their own thing, just like Korah did in the wilderness. "Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat," he's still preaching here, "the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. And there were gathered unto him worthless men, base fellows, which has happened, that strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the son of David, right? And when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and there are with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made you for gods. These golden calves who brought you up out of Egypt, that saved you from the hand of the old man of Egypt, that brought him down into the Red Sea. These golden calves did this. How stupid. But sin makes people stupid. And a perverted Jesus that smiles on all your evil, that's what you've created, right? Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord? The sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made you priests after manner of the peoples of other lands? Yes, they have. So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. So it's the people that are well-to-do here that obviously took over the Levitical priesthood. They bribed their way into the priesthood. And they are priests of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God. Aha. Making a good point here. Why is the Lord your God? And we have not forsaken him. We have priests ministering unto the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites in their work. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt offerings and sweet incense. A type of prayer, right? The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table. And the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof, which is the lighted people of God, the chosen people of God. Remember what Jesus said, if you don't repent, I'll take your candlestick out of its place. It doesn't sound like once saved, always saved to me. With the lamps thereof to burn every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him. And behold, God is with us and at our head. And his priests and the trumpets of alarm do sound an alarm against you, O children of Israel. Fight you not against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Well, see, so this guy here was sitting with his 400,000, and they've got their 800,000, you know, and they're thinking, we're going to get them now. But they weren't serving the Lord. They had no conscience of the word. And so they lost their battle. And Tim received a text that we considered spoke about how that people who have been delivered but go back to their vomit. Matthew 12:41-45. The men of Nineveh shall stand up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. That's an amazing miracle, the preaching of Jonah, how it turned Nineveh around. These were the enemy of God's people, but yet they repented. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Yes, the real preacher was there, right? The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So Jesus was there preaching. And he showed them that the people of Nineveh and the queen of Sheba was greater than them. They wouldn't hear Jesus' words. And so these people would bring judgment upon them because of the word of the Lord that was taught through these examples. And yet they wouldn't repent. But the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places and seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So what happens to the evil spirit then? Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this evil generation. Wow. I know a man that factioned out 4 times. We had a dream that he was like a fish in this temple underwater. He would swim out the back door, swim around, and make a circle, and go in the front door. Then after a while, he would go out the back door, swim around, and make a circle. He did this 3 times. The last time, he didn't come back around and go back in. Now, we know who this person is. He has turned Judas on us 3 times. And now a 4th time. Of course, that prophecy there only gave him 3 times. He wouldn't come back around the 4th time and come back in. God just gives you so many Judas times, and then he reprobates you. Now, we've, of course, prayed that God would have mercy just one more time. Of course, that prophecy didn't give him that. And now we got him falling short of the kingdom of Zion. Thought he would jump over and squash us, but no. Got a proof it's him, too. Him riding his noisy motorcycle. No, not going to happen. You know, friends, these things don't make us glad. They make us sad. We want to see everybody saved. But God is going to show his righteous judgment. And he's doing it in the political world for an example to us. Look out there and see what's happening. These crazy people still think they're going to win this thing. Them and their Babylonish leaders, their deep state with their shadow government, the rich people. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it that God would raise up somebody and give him wisdom and authority to cast down their evil works? And it's happening. Do we deserve it? No. But I'll tell you what, if I was everybody out there, I would cry out to the Lord, Lord, grant us repentance. There is a beast kingdom coming that is going to destroy the wicked. I'm not just talking about on this end of the tribulation period. I'm talking about through the tribulation and at the other end. And the people of God who are in apostasy, woe be unto them. If they don't follow quickly in the footsteps of the man-child ministry that's been raised up unto them, which they do not deserve, woe be unto them. There's an evil beast out there. It's coming together. It's a corporate beast. It's not just an individual beast as the past kingdoms have been, Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Rome. It's a revived Roman Empire. Some people say, no, that's not going to happen. But yes, it is happening. And it is the seed of all those previous empires who are still with us today, as Daniel said. Their kingdoms were taken away, but their lives were prolonged. And they're with us today in the UN. And this evil beast is going to bring many, many of God's people to their cross. This evil beast that is rising up after this time that we're in. I think it was Sue Gilbert had a dream about Trump giving us timepieces. He was giving us timepieces. He was passing them out. He was giving us time, just a little time, to raise up the church before it has to face an angry beast in Revelation chapter 13. The Lord gave them deliverance from the dragon who wanted to devour them. And now we're seeing that dragon being destroyed. But what's following it, what's going to follow the dragon is the beast of Revelation 13, make war on the saints. So now we've got a relative peace, a bit of time, in order for the church to be raised up, to be strong, to face this beast and not deny the Lord, because those that deny the Lord are going to be lost forever. And not deny the Lord. We've been given a little time. You know, the people who put Obama out there, they were pushing this thing. They wanted it to happen quickly. And, of course, we saw what happened. God, in his mercy, stopped him. He was bringing into this country people who would very quickly destroy Christianity. He was flooding the country. Even now, there are many out there that are willing to do the will of the deep state against us. The sword. Remember, the deep state Babylon conquered God's people by sword, by famine, by fire. We're seeing these things being used of the enemy. But the Lord has raised up the Trump administration and he's using them. And they didn't get their way in bringing Hitlery into office. And she thought it wasn't possible. None of them thought it was possible because they were cheating. They knew what they were going to do to go into office like they had before. But God turned that around. In a time of mercy, he has given us this little time. Now I say we have to redeem the time. We have to use this time to build the kingdom. It'll be a short door opening for us. And then the beast is going to make war on the saints and overcome them. Why is it? What part of the saints is the beast going to overcome? Their flesh. And this fleshly religion. Remember, the harlot comes in riding on the back of the beast, and then the beast throws her down and burns her with fire. Yeah. The world is all right about using politics to deceive God's people, to act like they're accepting God's people, when in truth, they can't stand the harlot. They can't stand hypocrisy. They recognize it better than the people of God do. So saints, get ready. Now's your time. He's given you a little time to build the kingdom and not run after your flesh. If you run after your flesh, you're going to be lost. As Romans 8 very clearly says, if we walk after the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we shall live. We're here to judge ourselves. If a person judges himself, he won't be judged by God. We're here to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus and get rid of that old man who is leading to destruction. Many people are going to take the mark of the beast who are Christians, who believe they're Christians, I should say. They believe they're Christians. They're going to take the mark of the beast. It's going to identify them as members of the body of the beast. And many people who are once saved, always saved, are going to take the mark of the beast. Many. Because they don't think they can be lost. They're not exhorted by any scripture or correction by any scripture. They can't be talking to them. They're once saved, always saved. And that religion, that doctrine, by the way, is in many religions, not just the Baptist Church. They just have a little bit different way to describe it, but it's the same thing. Since they are who they are, they're saved. There's a great falling away coming. We've already seen the falling away that was going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation or before the beginning of the tribulation. We're watching it, this great falling away. These are the people that God uses as the dragon to try to destroy the new leadership that's coming. God said he was going to raise up. Saints, redeem the time and pray. Pray for a remnant who is in captivity among the faction to come out from among them. Pray and believe God and do warfare for them, because these are going to be a mighty people. Remember, Paul the apostle was persecuting, doing his best to kill the leadership of Christianity. He thought it was his calling. He thought he was doing God a favor, until God struck him down. And then he became a mighty man of valor. Probably the mightiest, because he'd been there and come back. Lord, I've been saying for a long time, Lord, send your Pauls. Send your Pauls, Lord. Yes, amen. The spirit of Jezebel hates Paul. Have you ever noticed that? They hate Paul. My goodness. They think, oh God, he must have been an apostate. The things he said. But they still stand, and the word of God stands. And all those that pervert the word of God to be able to do their own will, they will not stand. Oh Father, we ask for your mercy towards your people, to send revival and to open eyes. Father, please reach out. Grant grace. Yes, I know. We don't deserve this. It is grace. It is the unmerited favor of God. We cry to you, Lord, for our brethren who are in captivity. We ask you to deliver them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have used them to bring us to our crosses and to crucify your people. But, Lord, there has to be repentance quickly, or many more of them are going to be losing their souls. We ask you grace, Lord. We ask of you grace. In Jesus' name, We ask of your mercy, Lord. We ask you to open their minds and their understandings. The demons have closed their minds and blinded their eyes to your word. They no longer respect it. They no longer believe they have to obey it. They no longer even believe that they're sinners. They can't admit any sin. There is not a one of them out there, Lord, that we haven't prayed for. We're asking for your mercy and your grace, Lord, to be bestowed upon your people. A great revival. Lord, we know when the destruction comes and people are dying and people are destroyed, that then the revival will come. Because his recompense is before him and his reward is with him. Our recompense is coming, and many are not going to escape it because they're rebelling against your ordained authority, just like Jeroboam did, just like Korah did. They're not going to live through this, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, grant grace to your elect among them. Bring them forth. Have them to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We believe you're going to do it. You have told us you're going to do it. We believe you. We thank you. We thank you for giving a demonstration of your anger against sin so that many will repent. Many will turn to you. Many will come out from among the apostate groups out there. Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you. Thank you. Draw us unto yourself. Strengthen us by your Spirit, Lord. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Well, okay, saints, pray for us and for wisdom and direction. God is going to do wonderful, great things here. Good night. God bless you.